Morning. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Lamed Gimel. You should give ample warning today if you have any type of visual aid, a picture book, Mora Hamavur. So today's a good day to bring it, as today's going to be an interesting daf, and possibly one of the more difficult daf in the Masechta. Maybe I don't mean to scare anyone off. I mean, you're here already, so no one's going to go out running. But today, really, all the information that we learned over the course of Shabbos and Erevin, it's really all going to come together today. We're going to throw around so many concepts and so many terms. It's going to be it's going to be a lot of information. But Baruch Hashem, that's why we're here. We're going to start in the Mishnah on Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis. We're starting with the new topic of Nasan Be'ilan. In the third parak of Erevin, we're talking about Erev Tchum. We want to lay down the Erev Tchum so that we can move our Makom Shvisa. On Shabbos, we can only walk within 2,000 amas of where we are from our point of center. And from that point going forward, you can only walk, not carry, but just walk 2,000 amas after that point in time. If you want to change your Makom Shvisa, so you may do so. And the way you do so, as we've been discussing now since the beginning of the parak, is by putting food down in a place where you now are imagining is going to be your new point of center, your new Makom Shvisa. That food could be any food, whatever, any food that you wanted, with exception to water and salt. And you lay down that food, and you designate that that's going to be your Erev Tchum. And now you can, going into Shabbos, that will become your new Makom Shvisa. The only proviso, which is what we're going to be discussing over the course of today's daf, is that you have to access your food during the Bein HaShemashos period. The Bein HaShemashos period is when your Erev kicks in. That's when it effectuates your new Makom Shvisa. So you have to be able to access that food during the Bein HaShemashos period. That is our discussion for today, and that's where we're going to go for over the course of today. Yesterday was an excellent daf dedicated to the concept of Shlichus. I asked somebody to lay down an Erev for me, to set the Erev down for me. Can I assume that he did it? Yes or no? The answer is yes, you can. That's the bottom line answer. But Tchumim, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that's the Din Derabanan. So on all the Rabbanans, Chazaka Shlichos a Shlichus, so we have an assumption that the Shlich does a Shlichus. What about if it's a Din Daraisa? Can I assume that the Shlich does a Shlichus? So that was a Machlokis yesterday in the Gemara between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And we had a lengthy discussion regarding that Machlokis. That basically was yesterday's daf. We move ahead now to today's daf, and now we're talking about this idea that you have to be able to access your Erev during the Bein HaShemashos period. Now, just as a quick setup, like background for the upcoming discussion, look, Bein HaShemashos period, what is that? Is that Shabbos or is that not Shabbos? The answer is Suffolk, meaning that's exactly what Bein HaShemashos is. Bein HaShemashos represents a twilight period where it's somewhere between Friday and Shabbos. So we don't know what it is. So generally speaking, in halacha, we consider it to be a suffolk. So when we enter to the Bein HaShemashos period, now when exactly the Bein HaShemashos period is a lengthy discussion, and one we're not going to engage in right now. Just for the point of simplicity, let's say, again, it's debatable, it's very debatable, but let's just say that it starts at sunset and it goes for 13 minutes, 13 and a half minutes. It's too complex to really deal with right now. But in other words, when sunset comes and now Shabbos has come, it doesn't mean that Shabbos has come, it means that we are entering into the Bein HaShemashos period, which will then bring, and then after 13 minutes, let's say, so then Shabbos comes, Bevadai, Shabbos is definitely here. So this Bein HaShemashos period is really like a suffolk. It's like, it may or may not be Shabbos. Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila. So can I do Malacha during the Bein HaShemashos period? The answer is absolutely not. Of course not. Meaning, it's very possible that right now it's Shabbos. So I can't take a risk, can't take a chance on violating an Issa, doing a Malacha and doing it and violating an Issa Daraisa during the Bein HaShemashos period. So that's out of the question. Can I violate Isurei Durabanan during the Bein HaShemashos period? Okay, that's going to be a big part of today's daf. So we're going to see that over the course of today. Okay, all this is by way of introduction. And now let's get with our Mishnah. Nasnu, Be'ilan, Lamala me'asar tvachim, Ein eruva eruv, Lamata me'asar tvachim, eruvo eruv. So now I put my eruv in a tree. Okay, so in other words, somewhere within 2,000 amos of where I am, where I started Shabbos, I lay down my eruv. I put food down. And I don't put it down on the ground, right? By the way, the assumption of this whole discussion is that the ground is Rishus HaRabim. Okay, in other words, just fix that in our mind, that where the tree is situated right now, the tree is in the middle of a road, or right on the side of a road, but in other words, the ground is a Rishus HaRabim. Just say that, because that's how we're going to be assuming this entire discussion. And then, I'm not going to put it down in the middle of the road. That's crazy. People are right there. Someone's going to pick it up. Someone's going to take it. So I put it in a tree. So I put my Eruv in a tree that's in the road. And I put it not just in the tree, but I put it on a branch. So the Mishnah says that if I put it lamala me'asara above 10 tefachim in the tree, so that now is no good. Ein Eruv ha'Eruv. Now if I put it lamata me'asara tefachim, if I put it below 10 tefachim, so then your Eruv was in fact going to be a good Eruv. Nasna bebor, afilamok me'a, ama Eruv ha'Eruv. And if I put in a pit, and it's even 100 amas deep, that's going to be fine. That's not going to be a problem whatsoever. The pit is not for today. We do not discuss the pit today. That comes up in discussion tomorrow. But right now, for now, we discuss the tree. The tree is going to be our focus, and we're going to really dedicate all of our time in trying to understand where exactly did you put in the tree, and why does it make a difference whether I put the Eruv above 10 tefachim from the ground or below 10 tefachim of the ground. And without further ado, we start with the Gemara, because the Gemara really just deals with some of the most basic discussions regarding what exactly is going on over here in the Mishnah.
Does the Mishnah have to say that way? You can say if it's...
Wait. In other words, we have a lot. We have a lot to go.
Oh, I mean, we know.
We have a lot to say before we can really challenge the. Let's start with the Gemara. Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yosef, Rabba bar Nasan, Yosef, Rav Nachman, Gabayhu. So we have an assemblage of four Amoraim, three Amoraim together with Rav Nachman, Yosef the Kamre, and this is what they were saying, meaning the three Amoraim. Hi, Ilan Dekai Hecha. Now, where is the tree situated? Now, I gave away the answer already, but that's good, meaning that's part of my job. Elam the guy b'rishos ha'yachid. Is the tree actually in rishos ha'yachid? So, mali lamala. What difference does it make whether I put the Eruv below 10 tefachim or above 10 tefachim? Look, here's what we know. When you have a rishos ha'yachid ola ad l'rakia. It goes up ad infinitum. There is no end to the rishos ha'yachid vertically. So, I have a base rishos ha'yachid. So anything over it, 10 tefachim up, 20 tefachim up, doesn't matter. In other words, that also is going to be Rishos HaYachid. So if the tree is in a Rishos HaYachid area, an enclosed area, so wherever I put the Eruv, it's going to be fine. I'm going to be able to access the Eruv going into Shabbos. That will not be a problem whatsoever. Rishos HaYachid, Ola Al-Rakia. The Ela Dekai Rishos HaRabim. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what we're talking about. We're talking about a case where you're standing in the Rishos HaRabim. The Ela Dekai Rishos HaRabim. Sorry. The tree's in the Rishos HaRabim. Okay, good. Now, let's put all this together. I now have an area, again, it's somewhere just outside, within 2,000 amas of where I started off Shabbos. I put food down over there. It's a road, which is a Rishos HaRabim. There's a tree in the road. We are now saying that the tree is in a Rishos HaRabim. And I put the Eruv not on the ground, but in the tree. Okay, so what's the problem right now? The problem right now is I need to be able to access my Eruv during the Bein HaShemashos period, because again, that's when everything gets effectuated, during the Bein HaShemashos period. So, road, tree, I put it, put the Eruv in the tree, and now we're saying that the Mishnah, let's go over the Mishnah's 2 points. If I put it above 10 tefachim, that's no good. The Eruv doesn't work. If I put it below 10 tefachim, that's good, it does work. What's the issue? So Gemar says, the Ela Dekai B'Rishos HaRabim, the Miskaven L'Shvos Hecha. Next point that we have to clarify. What was your intention? Because remember, the whole idea is I'm changing my address. My home address is 7493 Andorra Place, but that's not where I want my Shabbos to be. I want my Makom Shvisa to be there. And I point to a nondescript place. Where exactly did I have in mind in this particular scenario? So was my intention that I'm going to actually live up in the tree? Why not? In other words, I'll make this will be my makeshift treehouse, and I'll start off my Shabbos. My Makom Shvisa will be up in the tree. So perfect. Meaning, if that's where I wanted to be, and I put my Eruv up in the tree. So don't we have a perfect scenario? Now, when I say perfect, by the way, let's keep the following in mind. Can I climb the tree? No. Meaning, it's Shabbos. Now, I understand it's Bein HaShemashos, so it's Suffolk Shabbos. But in other words, can I climb the tree? No. Can I? So that's going to be an ish. that's going to be an issue. Even if I can climb the tree, which I can't. In other words, can I take the Erev out from the tree? Again, no. In other words, the Erev is right now in the tree. So that's an issue. So I say perfect, and I realize that it's not totally perfect because your Erev is right now in a tree and you can't access a tree on Shabbos. We'll come back to that point in just a moment. But right now, just from the standpoint of me and the Erev in the same place, sure. Even if I put the Erev in the tree, and even if the Erev is above 10 Tfachim, but if my intention is to make my Makom Shvisa up in the tree, what's the issue? Huve Erev v'bemakom echad hu. Ela niskaven l'shbos lamata. So the Gemara's assumption is that this entire case is talking about where Erev is placed in the tree, trees in the Rishus HaRabim. My intention is that the base of the tree is going to be my Makom Shvisa. That's the assumption of what the case actually is. Good. And so now, at this point in time, we almost have pshat. Almost. Meaning, what's the issue? Look, my Makom Shvisa is the base of the tree. If the Erev is within 10 tfachim of the ground, so it's fine. Meaning, where am I? I'm on the base of the tree. Otherwise known as the Rosh HaSarabim. Where's my Erev? Same place. Meaning, in the tree, but below 10 tfachim. Okay, now Phil points out that that's a karmelus. Right. Phil's right. I'll get to Phil's point in just a moment. It is a karmelus, and that is a consideration. But right now, for just now, let's just say it's simple. Me and the tree are basically in the same place. My Erev works. If, however, I put my Erev above 10 tfachim in the tree, now when I say in the tree, by the way, in other words, we're not assuming a perfectly vertical tree. There are bends in the tree. There are nooks in the tree. There's somewhere where I can put the Erev down above 10 tfachim. So now, let's put this all together. It's a tree. We're going to assume the tree is a minimum base of 4 by 4 tfachim. If I put it above 10 tfachim, where did I put my Erev? In a Rishus HaYachid. A Rishus HaYachid is just simply any structure that's 4 by 4 in area and 10 tfachim high. So that means that I put my Erev in a Rishus HaYachid. Now, during the Bein HaShemashos period, if I were there, how would I access my Erev? And the answer is I couldn't. Because the assumption is, again, these are assumptions, that I'm making my Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree, meaning on the street, in the Rishus HaRabim, and I need to access my Erev by taking it off the tree, but if I put it above 10 Tfachim, I've now put it in the Rishus HaYachid. I would then be transferring from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim, and even though it's during the Bein HaShemashos period, but so what? That's an Isra D'Oraisa that you cannot do. Okay. So that's what our Mishnah is dealing with. That's the case of our Mishnah. We're not going to equivocate. In other words, the Gemara is going to basically assume all these assumptions throughout the entire discussion. That's what our Mishnah is dealing with, where your intention was to make your Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree. And if it's above, if you put the Erev in the tree above 10 Tfachim, that's going to be a no-no, because then you'd have to be transferring from the Rishus HaYachid to the Rishus HaRabim. If I put it below 10 Tfachim, so then that's fine, because me and my Erev are in the same place. Now, let's deal with Phil's question, because Rashi discusses it right now. And that's the following. Even if I put it below 10 Tfachim, it's not really a Rishus HaRabim. Meaning, we also know, we go back to what we learned together in Masechet Shabbos, that any structure that is 4 by 4 Tfachim wide and under 10 Tfachim is not a Rishus HaYachid, but it's a Karmelus. And we also know, transferring from a Karmelus to Rishus HaRabim, or transferring from a Karmelus to Rishus HaYachid, is Aser Midrabanan. So now, can we ask the following question? Let's ask the following question. If the tree that if the Erev I put in the tree is below 10 Tfachim, and the area is, in fact, that area is considered Karmelus, so why should that be okay? Because that would require me, if I wanted to access my Erev during the Bein HaShemashos period, to transfer the item from a Karmelus to Rishus HaRabim, which is prohibited to do. So why should that be okay? Why would the Mishnah say that that's okay if it's below 10 Tfachim? So Rashi says the Gemara could have asked this question. The Gemara is going to ask a different question. The answer that the Gemara is going to give for that different question will also answer this question as well. What's the different question that the Gemara is going to ask? We should all guess it. The Gemara is now wondering, wait a second. V'ha kamishtamish be'ilan? Aren't you using a tree on Shabbos? meaning wherever the Erev is on the tree, above 10 Tvachim, below 10 Tvachim, you can't take your Erev off the tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. You're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Do you remember, we talked back in Masechta Shabbos, in the Kuf Nun Dal, Kuf Nun Hey, we talked about using a tree on Shabbos. We talked about Tzadin, using the side of the tree. We talked about Tzidei Tzadin, using something that's coming off of a tree. Right, but in other words, all that discussion. One thing is clear: you're not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos. Okay, so you already know the magic, but that's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's answer is, and this is going to be now the answer that answers everything. That you're right, but we're not changing any of our assumptions. Your plan was to make your makom shvisa at the base of the tree. Your plan was to use to put the Erev in the tree. If it's below 10 tefachim, yes, you're not allowed to climb a tree, but that's an issur derabanan, and our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe, as in Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. The Amr called Davashu Mishum Shvus, Lo Gazor Lo Ben Ashmashos. Rebbe's of the opinion that anything which is Mishum Shvus, meaning an issur derabanan, the Chachamim were not gozer during the Bein HaShemashos period. So oddly enough, not odd, in other words, it makes sense, and Rashi points out, because Bein HaShemashos is a suffix, and because climbing a tree or making usage of a tree is an Issur D'Rabbanan, the Chachamim decided that their gzera is only going to be an actual Shabbos. But suffix Shabbos, meaning Bein HaShemashos, the Chachamim were not gozer. So now everything is being resolved right now with this one sweeping answer. Meaning, A, aren't I not allowed to use a tree on Shabbos? So how can I take my Erev off the tree? Answer, if it were Shabbos, you're not. But because your Erev is kona during the Bein HaShemashos period, and because during the Bein HaShemashos period, we're subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe, which is that you can't violate Isurei De'oraisa, but you can violate Isurei De'rabanan, so therefore accessing your Erev from the tree is not going to be a problem. And this answers our second question as well, which the Gemara didn't ask, but Rashi did, but we're going to also yield the same answer, which is, aren't I not allowed to transfer from a Carmelis to a Rishos HaRabim if I put the Erev below 10 Tfachim? Yes, that's true, but that's on Shabbos. During the Bein HaShemashos period, you're allowed to violate Isurei D'Rabbanan, so therefore you can transfer from the Carmelis over into the street. Good. And that now takes us to, basically, we now finally have pshat in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that makes a difference whether I put the Erev above 10 Tvachim or below 10 Tvachim. Now I got it. Meaning the case is where my intention was to make my Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree. If I put my Erev above 10 Tvachim in the tree, now my Erev is sitting in Rishos HaYachid. Transferring from Rishos HaYachid to Rishos HaRabim, where I want to make my Makom Shvisa, that is an Issur D'Oraisa. I cannot do that even during the Bein HaShemashos period. That's why my Erev doesn't work, because I cannot access my Erev. However, if I put it below 10 Tvachim, so then it's not a problem. What about Carmelis? What about climbing trees on Shabbos or making use of trees on Shabbos? Those are Isurei D'Rabbanan. We subscribe to the viewpoint of Rebbe, which is you're allowed to violate Isurei D'Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period. That's a wonderful question. That is a wonderful question. So stay tuned. I'm going to touch on that question today, but really the Gemara in the upcoming pages are going to discuss that very issue. The Mishum Shavuos Lo Gazer Bala Avrama. I'm sorry, Bein HaShemashos. Good. So Amalu Rav Nachman. Now remember, the whole setting was three Amoraim in front of Rav Nachman. They said this Pshat in our Mishnah, and Rav Nachman gives them a thumbs up. Perfect approval. So Rav Nachman says, Yi Yasher, right? The Yasher Koach, which we know and love. So this is it in the Gemara. We find this a number of times in the Gemara, but I don't know where the word Koach comes from. In the Gemara, it's just the Yasher, meaning strength should be upon you, fortune unto you, you did good. V'chein HaMashmol Amarlei. So V'chein HaMashmol. So, and Rav Nachman says, remember, Rav Nachman studied under Shmuel, and he says, Shmuel said the same thing as well. So, Amru Lei, Patrisu Bai Kula Hai, Enunami Kapatri Bay. So, did you spend so much time investigating the manor? So, we also did. So Elahachi Amrulei. So Kviyusulei the Gemara. So is this part of the Gemara? Now the Gemara here is not making a self-reference. The Gemara here is not actually talking. When we say the word Gemara, we mean what we're reading right now. When the Gemara says the word Gemara, it means tradition, meaning Mesora. Is this part of the Mesora? Amrulehu in. So yes, it's part of the Mesora, meaning that when we ever we learn this Mishnah in Erevin of the third parak of Erevin about the tree and the above 10 tefachim, below 10 tefachim, that's exactly what is incorporated as part of the Torah Shabbat Peh. In Manami Amrav Nachman Amishmol Hachibi Ilam Mohammed Birshos Rabbi Maskin and Gavoa Savrachav Arba. Vinis Kavin Shmosamata Vrebi Damada called Davish and Misham Shmos Logazu Allah Vinashmashos. And then the Gemara quotes in the name of Shmuel exactly what we just said, meaning that is in fact the Pshat in our Mishnah. The tree is 4 tefachim wide, which means that if I put it above 10 tefachim, I'm putting in the Rishos HaYachid, I'm transferring from the Rishos HaYachid to the Rishos HaRabim. You're not allowed to do that. That's a Nisim in the Torah. That's why the Erev would not be good. If I put it below 10 tefachim, so then it would be fine. Good. That takes us through the first part of today's daf, which I know it's not even today's daf yet, but in other words, that's the first point of the sugya, just simply how to understand our Mishnah. Amar Rava. Okay, now, Lo shanu ella bi ilan haomid chutz leibur shel ir. Ava ilan haomid besoch ibur shel ir, afilu lamala miyasar hari ze'eruv. Rava's now going to give us something that's going to be a little tough to chew on, but in other words, conceptually, this is what Rava is thinking. If I put my eruv in a tree that happens to be right up against the city in the ibur of the city, now, you're going to see that term a lot throughout our Masechta. Ibur shel ir means anything that's within 70 amos of a city. 70 amos and two-thirds, if you want to get more accurate. But in other words, any item within 70 amos of the city is considered part of the city. Okay? So, every time you have the government has a street, so they allow themselves easements on the sides, which basically means, look, we might not put anything there, but that's ours. So in other words, it's almost like an easement of a city, if you will. So So this is what's called Ibur Shel Ir. So Rava says that if I put my Erev in a tree that's in Ibur Shel Ir, and Rashi says the case over here would be, in other words, the implicit question of Rashi is, why in the world am I making my Erev so close to the city? I mean, what, just so I can get another 70 amos? That's kind of strange. So Rashi says, no, the case over here would be where, let's say, a certain city was within my tchum, and I want to travel to that city, and 2,000 amos beyond that city. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my Erev in that city. And for whatever reason, he doesn't put it actually inside the city. He puts it on the outskirts of the city, right outside the city. And he puts it in a tree that's right outside the city. Okay, fine. Just to give a better sense of why he's putting the Erev down in the Ibur Shel Ir. Either way, he put the Erev down in the Ibur Shel Ir, so Rav is now going to make the following argument. Here, it does not matter whether or not the Erev was below 10 tefachim or above 10 tefachim. Why doesn't it matter? Okay, so this is conceptually going to be a little bit tough to chew on, but we're going to chew on it, and we're going to try to understand it. So, why? Demasa keman demalya dama? Because the city is like it's filled up. Now, if this sounds familiar, it should, because we had a very similar concept going back to Masechta Shabbos. We had the concept of besa keman demalya dama, which means that the way we view a house is that the entire interior of the house is filled up. So in other words, if I throw something through a house, remember how we discussed this? So it's ki'ilu, it rested in the house, because the house is almost like thick air. It's like there's airspace, but all that airspace is really occupied airspace. So it's as if it rested in the house. Here, Rav is giving a similar concept, but not for a house, but for an entire city. Now, it's conceptually a little bit different, because a house has got a roof over the top of it, so therefore you can see the entire area of the house as an enclosed area. Here, we're talking about a city. Now, the city has a wall around it, so it does have an enclosure. It is missing the aspect of the roof, but either way, Rava says that the Masa, the city is commanded by Yadamia. So therefore, this is going to be conceptually difficult. So it says, if basically, even though there's a floor to the city, the floor just keeps going up. There's no real floor to the city. The city's like it's filled up. And then, once the floor is filled up, and I put my Erev in the tree, and even though I put it above 10 tefachim, and even though it's going, and the tree is right over a road, it's fine, says Rava. Because I could still, theoretically, access my Erev, because the city doesn't have a floor. Okay, fine. That's the statement of Rava regarding Ibur Shalir. Now it is, again, as I mentioned, it's conceptually difficult to understand. First of all, the tree's not even in the city. It's in the outskirts of the city. So, right? But in other words, that's absolutely correct. Meaning once it's within 70 amas of the city, it's considered as if it's in the city. Now, does that mean that I can actually take the Erev down from the branch and put it down on the street based on this concept? So Rashi says no. Like, you, in practice, you couldn't actually do that. But because of this concept, your Erev works. In fact, look at Rashi. Rashi, what I just said, Rashi will say. So, Kem Namarava, Nosen Ese Ruvo, Lekaman. No, I'm sorry, not that Rashi. The Rashi before. The Masa Mitokshi Mukefas Yishav Mechitzas Veino Megula Chazina La Kamanda Malia Afra. The Havik Kamanda is Kavan Lishmos Lamala Me Asara. So, therefore, even though you said you're going to make your makom shvisa at the base of the tree, but because the city keeps piling up, so to say, it's as if the city is like filled with dirt. The afagav di'i by lemishkele lo matzol shakel. Now, if you had your local rabbinic authority standing right there and you asked him, "Can I take my erev down from the tree during this banish rashos period?" He will look at you and say, "Of course not." Meaning, right now your erev is in the house. I'm sorry, in the tree. It's above 10 tefachim, which means it's a Rishus HaYachid. And to bring it from the Rishus HaYachid down to the street, that you can't do. Even though you can't do that, Rashi goes on to say, the Ha'ilan Rishus HaYachid, V'tachtav Rishus HaRabim, Chazina L'makum Shisoso, Ki'ilu Gavoa L'mehava Ki'ilan. I'm sorry, Ki'ilu Niskavan Lishmos L'mala the V'yikna Lawa Eru. What this concept of Masa L'Kaman D'Malya Damya is that even though you said your makom shvisa is on the ground, because the city is kind of like it's filled up, we view your makom shvisa as if it's in an elevated plane. So it's as if your makom shvisa now has become up in the tree, even though you really can't access your Erev. Okay. Definitely a concept for today. I don't even think it's going to be our hardest concept of the day. Okay, but that is Rava's position, which, by the way, is accepted. It's accepted la halacha. The Gemara continues. The I hachi chutz li ibur shel nami kevin da amar Rava nosin eruva yesh lo arba amos havile reshus yachid ola ad l'rakia. Now, Hedi, the Gemara is going to basically deal with your issue. We're going to have a statement by Rava, and we're going to discuss this in more detail in a couple days from now, which basically goes as follows. That when I lay down my Erev, wherever I put it down, basically, I get Dalet Amos. Meaning, there's almost like a de facto Rishus HaYachid that's created when I put my Erev down. Now, again, conceptually, is it a real Rishus HaYachid? Of course it's not real. A real Rishus HaYachid requires walls and an enclosure and 4x4 amos and 10 tefachim high. And in other words, there needs to be a real engineering structure to a Rishus HaYachid. So it's not a real Rishus HaYachid, let's not say that. But let us say that conceptually, I get 4 amos of wherever I put my Erev down. Now, how are those 4 amos going to help me in life? So later on in the Gemara, we're going to talk about how those 4 amos help you. I don't want to get into it right now. But at least in concept, there's this idea that when I put my Erev down, I get 4 amos. And so now the Gemara wonders, if Besa Kaman Damal Yadamya, or In this case, if Masa Kemanda Malya Damya allows me to view my Makam Shvisa, not on the ground level, but keep going up. So therefore, even if I put my Erev above 10 Tfachim, I'm there because of the concept of Masa Kemanda Malya Damya. So can't I say the same thing regarding wherever I put my Erev down? Meaning, if I'm getting Dalet Amos, and it's almost like a quasi-Rishus HaYachid, or a conceptual Rishus HaYachid, so can't now we make the argument that even though my Makom Shvisa was on the ground floor, but basically, let's keep going up, because I'm within a conceptual Rishus HaYachid. And so the Gemara wonders, if all this is true, why should it ever make a difference whether I put my Eruv below 10 Tfachim, above 10 Tfachim? Can't we just keep going up? Can't we view my Makom Shvisa, not just limited to the ground, but stacked one on top of the other, where maybe it's even up in the tree? This is the Gemara's question. So the Gemara's response to this question is, that's an excellent point. That's really good. You're right. There is a conceptual... Okay, that was easy. Okay, we'll see if it's easy. Anyway, so even though it doesn't look like a Rishus HaYachid, but at least conceptually you have a Rishus HaYachid here, so the Gemara says that's an excellent point. In fact, it's such a good point, here's what we're going to say. And now we're going to have to bend our minds a little bit as we're about to bend the tree. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bered Rav Mishar Shahacha, Be'ilan HaNote Chutz La'arba Amos Askinan, V'nizkav L'shpos Be'ikaro. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. The point is so good that we're going to have to just twist the case a little bit. Where? My intention was to make the Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree, where the trunk lies. And you're right, I get four amos around that base of the tree. Absolutely correct. In fact, you can make a marker of four amos running right along the base of the tree. Where did I put my food? So if I put it anywhere above the base of the tree, it works. It absolutely works. Me and my Erev are in the same place. Because again, that virtual Rishus HaYachid just keeps going up. And so therefore, I'm basically anywhere in that base and anywhere above that base. Where did I put my Erev? A branch came out of the tree. And I put it on the branch, and I put it on the branch that's outside of my virtual four amos. Okay? I told you, this is going to be one of the most difficult dapim in the Masechta. So that's where I put my Erev. So the Gemara says, fine. And by the way, now that the Erev is over there, so now we're good. Meaning now we understand, me and my Erev are now in the same place. Where's my Makom Shvisa at the base of the tree? Where's my Erev on the branch? Okay, the Gemara just ties up one loose end, which is, so Amar Rav Yitzchak Breder Mishar Shahacha Be'ilan Techutz Arba Amos Askinan V'Nizkav L'Shmos Be'Ikaro. Umay Lamalo Umay Lamata. The Gemara now just wonders. Okay, but what does that mean when our Mishnah talks about below 10 Tfachim, above 10 Tfachim, if it's a branch that's sticking out, right, isn't it just sticking out in one particular place? So how can we now talk about above or 10 or below 10? So the Gemara says, that's easy. The branch went out, and then it made it turn up. So in other words, we have a branch that horizontally sticks out. It's no longer in my virtual Rishus HaYachid base, a 4x4 Tvachim, and then it made a 4x4 Amos, I should say, and then it made a turn up, and now it depends. If I put the Eruv in, below 10 Tvachim, so good. Huve Eruv b'makom echad, me and my Eruv in the same place. If I put it above 10 Tvachim, so now that means that my Eruv is in Rishus HaYachid, I'm sitting in the Rishus HaRabim, I cannot access my Erev to where I am right now. Okay.
You're adding the branch and you have your four amos, and then your four amos goes up.
My four amos are at the base of the tree. And my four amos do go up.
Right.
And it keeps going up. But the problem now is that right now the Erev is not at the base. It's outside of my virtual four amos. And it's on the tree and it's above 10 Tvachim and it's in Rishus HaYachid and I can't bring it to me.
Under the branch.
Under the branch, because under the branch is a Rishus HaRabim.
If he stands there, you would have four amos again.
Yeah, but once you mark your four amos.
You're not marking it, just go under
that. Okay, that would work. Absolutely. Again, you have to understand, the starting point for the whole discussion is the Mishnah. The Mishnah speaks about a particular case, and we're just sizing up what's the case of the Mishnah. You're absolutely right. But in other words, we're right now, our main focus of the Gemara is, what's the Mishnah even talking about? Now, the Gemara, however, is still in this case, as odd as it is right now, the Gemara wonders, you could still get your Eruv, and how would you do that? So, the Gemara says, Vaha, second line down on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, Vaha, Ibaye Maisi Le Derech Alav. So the Gemara says, but here's what you can do. Climb the tree. Now remember, this is Bein HaShemashas. So all this is okay. Climb the tree, go to the top of the tree, or wherever, it doesn't have to be the top, and simply now grab the Eruv. Now, remember, you're in the tree. Okay, I know there are sides to the tree, but basically, let's say you're in the tree. So for you now to grab your Eruv, you're not violating any Issur D'oraisa. Because even, let's say, the area of the tree that I'm bringing it over is an area of a karmelus. That's fine. Meaning, as long as I'm not violating any Issur D'oraisa, and all the Issurim that are being violated are Issur D'rabbanan, so that would be fine. So why not? You're right. I can't bring the Eruv down to the base of the tree, because that's transferring from Rishas Yachid to Rishas Rabim, but why not climb the tree and bring it to me? And what gives me the right to climb the tree? Once again, my virtual Dalet Amos. Because once I've marked off where my Eruv, my Malkum Shris is going to be, I now have those virtual Dalet Amos, and again, it's Ola Adler Rakid, just keeps going up. So that gives me the right now to go up.
But not more than for a Dalet Amos.
Right. Correct, meaning...
It has to be within that reach of it.
Right, in other words, yeah, somehow it has to be within reach. But the Gemara wonders, can't I do that? So, the Gemara gives a very specific scenario where I put the Erev down was an area where Rabbi Mechatfen Alav, where people unburden what is on their shoulder. The statement of Ula, which we saw earlier together back in Shabbos, some time ago, Daf Ches in Shabbos, which is that if I have structurally something in Rishus Rabbim, which is exactly 9 Tfachim, anything below 9 Tfachim, Karmelus, 10 Tfachim, Rishus Yachin. So it's got to be exactly 9 Tfachim, and people who are walking through the street use it as part of helping them unload their burden, shift a little bit of their backpack, put it back on again. It's not a makom pater, it's part of the Rishus HaRabim. And so therefore, if I throw something onto it from a Rishus HaYachid, I'm going to be chayev. Point being that this particular branch in question is now part of the Rishus HaRabim. Therefore, even if I climb the tree, and even if I bring it from the branch to where I am right now, I'm transferring from a Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, that last part admittedly was challenging, both just in terms of the simple reading of the Gemara and in terms of concept, but let's go over the basics in terms of what we know, so that we can continue in the Gemara. Okay, just go. Let's go back to the basics. The basics of the daf today basically are the following. You and your Eruv have to be in the same place. You have to be able to access your Eruv. When is the Eruv effectuated? During the Bein HaShemashos period. So as long as you can access your Eruv during the Bein HaShemashos period, your Eruv now is Kone, it acquires your Makom Shvisa, and we're good to go. You now have a new Makom Shvisa for Shabbos. What if you're going to have to be violating Yisuri Torah in order to access your Eruv? Your Eruv does not work. It cannot access for you. What if you're going to violate Yisuri Derabanan? According to Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, according to Rebbe, that's fine. Because Rebbe allows you to violate Yisuri Derabanan during the Bein HaShemashos period, and therefore, if the only violation that's required is only Yisuri Derabanan, so then we will consider Hu Ve'eruva B'makom Echad. Our Mishnah, subscribing to the viewpoint of Rebbe, is exactly that. When our Mishnah says, if you put your Eruv in the tree above 10 Tfachim, so then no. Because then that means that you're going to be carrying your Eruv from the top of the tree, which is a makam, which is a Rishus Yachid, to the street below, where your makam shvisa is where you designated it to be, and that would be hotza'ah on Shabbos, and that would be prohibited, and therefore your eruv does not work for you. If it's below 10 tfachim, so then hu ve'eruva b'makamecha, because you can access your eruv. And then the Gemara got complicated because of this idea of Rava, of your virtual Rishus Yachid, it's only Adler Rakia. Why can't we now consider your Makam Shvisa not just to be limited to the ground, but anywhere above it as well? So then we talked about how we're going to have a branch going off to the side, and the Erev is on the branch going off to the side, away from your virtual Rishus Hayachid. But okay, but that's where it got complicated. But short of that, however, those are the basics of our Gemara. It has to. In other words, the Erev has to be prepared before Bein HaShemashah. And then, no, he doesn't have to go back. In other words, the Bein HaShemashah period is when it's effectuated. He doesn't have to actually do it, as long as theoretically it could work, where he and his Erev are in that same spot, so then it gets activated. But there has to be theory. In other words, there has to be at least a potential of him being able to access his Erev. Mm-hmm. If the Erev is in the Rishus Yachin, and his Makam Shvisa in Rishus Rabim, so then it's not going to work.
Let me change
our thinking. If you can be coded during Bein HaShemashos, then it gets activated. After Bein HaShemashos period is, you don't care about it. In other words, it just, all it does is creates a new home address for me. Oh, the food, right. On Shabbos itself, you can't even touch the food. Correct. That's right. Odd as it is, meaning, but it served its purpose. It created for you a new home address. Yes, yes. Okay. All right. We go on in the Gemara. And now in the Gemara, we are on Lama Gimel Med Aleph, to this, today's daf. My Rebbe, my Rabbanan. Now, we kind of assume the Gemara does this often, where we know about this machlokus between Rabbi and the Chachamim about Isuri de Rabbanan during the Bein HaShemashos period, and now the Gemara takes a step backwards and says, oh, by the way, here's that machlokus which we were referencing, but here it is now actually inside. My Rebbe, my Rabbanan, to tell you that it's based on a brisa. Nasdom be'ilah lamala mi'asar tvachim, ein eruv ol eruv. Lamata mi'asar tvachim, eruv ol eruv, v'asar litlo. Betoch shlosha, mutter litlo. So, first of all this should sound familiar. Why? Because it's basically the same exact point as our Mishnah. Above 10 tfachim, the Erev doesn't work. Below 10 tfachim, the Erev does work. There's one other feature, which is, let's say you put it so low to the ground, it's within 3 tfachim of the ground, not only does the Erev work, but you can actually take the food. Because, as we learn, anything within 3 tfachim is considered part of the ground, and so therefore, it's not even in the tree. It's not even, right, lovin. It's not even in the tree. Nastu b'kalkala v'tala b'ilan afil l'malam yasar tfachim eruv v'eruv v'divrei Rabbi. And then there's another halacha mentioned in this brisa, which is that if I put the eruv in a basket, and even if the basket is above 10 tfachim, so then your eruv is going to work. Okay,
what size basket?
Yeah, good. So what's happening over here with this basket? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to discuss the case of the basket in just a moment. But right now, that's Shitas Rebbe, Divrei Rebbe, meaning everything we just said is Shitas Rebbe, which again, that's our Mishnah. And then, Chachamim Omrim, Kol Makom She'asar Litlam, Ein Eruvo Eruv. Now the Chachamim say, no. Unilaterally, no. Any place where you put down your Erev and you can't access your Erev does not work. The Chachamim Omrim Ahaya, the Gemara now wants to know. The Chachamim were commenting on what part of Rebbe? The case of the basket? So then, if they're talking about the basket, so then that would lead us to the question of the prohibition of the use of the basket because it's connected to the side of the tree, meaning in the issue is Sedadin using the side of the tree, which we discussed back in Shabbos. And as Rashi points out, the Gemara in Shabbos does not breathe a word of this discussion. This is not an issue about Sedadin. Ela Aresha. It's going on the first part of what Rebbe said, which is the distinction between above 10 tfachim and below 10 tfachim. And hi Ilan Echidami, sorry. Pause. So, and the Chachamim say that you cannot, the Erev is never good. Why is the Erev never good? Because it's in a tree. And trees are prohibited midrabbanan. You're not allowed to climb a tree, you're not allowed to use a tree. And so therefore the Chachamim say, if you cannot access your Erev, and it does not matter what's prohibiting you access, either it's an Issur D'oraisa, it's an Issur D'rabbanan, it does not matter, the Erev does not work, period. End of discussion. So now we have in this Braisa, we get to see firsthand the machlokes between Rabbi and the Chachamim regarding Issuri D'rabbanan during the Banish Mashmash period. Rabbi says it's good, you're allowed to violate Issuri D'rabbanan during the Banish Mashmash period, and the Chachamim say, no good. You cannot violate Issuri D'rabbanan during the Banish Mashmash period. Adkan. That takes us now to basically the viewing of this machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Okay, I want to get to the case of the basket, but before I get to the case of the basket, which really is the next part of today's daf, and really takes us into tomorrow's daf. If you turn the page, you'll see the rest of today's daf is very short. But first of all, who do we follow the halacha? Interestingly enough, we follow like Rabbi. The Shulchan Aruch passes like Rebbe, that during the Bein Hashmashas period, you're allowed to violate Yisurah D'Rabbanan. Two things. Number one, the Shulchan Aruch says, huh?
You know, from Rama Medlikin, he said.
Well, hold on a second. That was going to be my second point. No, please don't apologize.
But that's Dad Yachid. How could we?
Yeah, so, okay, good. So how is it that we cited like a Das Yachid over a Das Rabim? Good question. I don't know the answer. Part of the answer could be that there's a Stam Mishnah that follows like Rebbe, meaning our Mishnah that we just learned today is following like Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Maybe that's part of the reason why. I don't know. That's a really good question. But that's the halacha. The halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. First of all, just in terms of a qualifier, it has to be for a mitzvah purpose. Meaning, you can't just randomly, arbitrarily violate Issuri D'Rabbanan during the Banish Mashmash period. It has to be for the purpose of a mitzvah. The other point to consider, which all the Rishonim already consider, and this is not me breaking any ground, this is just me notifying everybody, is that Mishnah Shabbos, in the second parak of Shabbos, which we're familiar with, we say it every Friday night, that Mishnah doesn't work out so well. Why? Because what does the Mishnah say that you can't do during the Banish Mashmash period?
Yeah.
You can't take off Trumas and Maisros.
Right?
Demai, fine. But Trumas and Maisros, you can't separate Trumas and Maisros during the Banish Mashmash period. Now, separating Trumas and Maisros, is that an Issur D'oraisa or is that an Issur D'rabbanan?
The transaction.
You're already alluding to an answer, but face value, it's an Issur D'rabbanan. Separating Trumas and Maisros is not an Issur D'oraisa, it's an Issur D'rabbanan. And you're doing it, obviously, for a mitzvah, and you're doing it during the Banish Mashmash period. So why does the Mishnah and Shabbos in the second parak say that's prohibited if we're assuming the halachas like Rebbe? Now, I guess you can answer very simply, well, maybe that Mishnah is going like the Chachamim.
But maybe you can say that's because if you let time pass, you can still do it later. It's not something that you have to be right now.
It's almost like a Davar Sheishlo Matirin, almost like that. Okay. All right. Anyway, I'm sorry. I raised the issue. I'm not giving answers, but something to think about. Okay, quickly, let's do this, although I don't think that's fair, but let's do this quickly. Let's now just talk about the basket. Rebbe added in the Braisa that if I put the Erev in the basket and it's over 10 Tvachim, so then it's fine. The simple question is, what? What's going on over here? Why does the basket make everything fine? So, El HaRishu Hu Ilan Hechidami Idaleis Be'arba Makam Paterhu Vides Be'arba Kinasim Be'kakala Mehavi. So the Gemara says, I don't understand this tree. Wider than 4x4, narrower than 4x4. What is the basket? In other words, what's going on? Simply put, what's going on over here? I'm Ravina Rashidis Bayarba, Savadalis Barba. The Kalkala Mashumal Arba. So the Gemara Ravina explains as follows. The first part of the Mishnah is talking about where the tree was 4x4, meaning the tree is the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. I put it above 10 Tvachim, no good. Why? My Makam Shis is on the ground, which is the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. My Erev is in the tree, wider than with a base of 4x4, above 10 Tfach, and that's called the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. And then I'll be transferring from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Now, Kalkala, I'm sorry, Seifa de Leis Be Arba. The next part of the Braisa, where Rebbe was talking about the basket was attached to a tree that was narrower than 4x4 Tfachim. And when I put the basket alongside the tree, the basket actually now makes it a makom dalet al dalet. It's mashlim. Now, the kalkal mashlim ala arba. The Rebbe Savala Karebi Meir, the Savala Karev Yehuda. Now, Rebbe, to arrive at the conclusion of it doesn't matter, he needs to invoke two shitas over here. A, the shita of Rebbe Meir, and B, the shita of Rebbe Yehuda. A, we're just going to do A. Savala Karev Meir Da'amar Chokikin La'ashlim. You remember this concept? This is now the second time in Erevin that we talked about this concept of Chokikin La'ashlim, which means that even though the basket is not that wide, but the basket plus the tree is an area of 4x4 tfachim. Meaning I envision the tree as if it's carved out and making now the entire area of the basket 4x4. And this is the concept of Chokikin La'ashlim. And then B, we'll talk about tomorrow in terms of how it should work and why it should work. Okay. Really, this is now the heart. I mean, yes, it's really the heart of Erevin in terms of specifically Erev Tchum and how Erev Tchum works and Yisurei Derabanan during the Bein HaShemashos period. And okay, please go over the daf again today. It's a tricky daf. Continue Refuah Shlema for Binyamin Zevakon Ben Shemar Rivka, for Rafal Zak Avram Ben Yakir Avigar, Bechanan Yemenakash Amar Ratzak Shbarach Lizak Yisrael, Fiyach Achir Ben Tal Mitzvah Shenema Anay Chafetz Amar Kiko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadir.